You're listening to episode number 45 of The Green Elephant. Greetings. This is your host, Rico Verde, at The Green Elephant in the Room. This episode of The Green Elephant is going to be a little different. The world seems different these days. We are trying out a new format called News of the Future. This will be a little shorter, a little simpler, and perhaps more focused on the enormous challenges we face right now. The thing with producing a podcast on the environment is the scope and scale of the issues. There is not an area of human endeavor, energy, diet, manufacturing, agriculture, transportation, buildings, or tourism that will not be profoundly impacted by our rapidly changing planet. No country or state will be immune to the forces we are unleashing. The greatest impacts are happening now in the natural world. There is virtually no living creature, plant, or animal that will be untouched by the coming storm. Our goal with News of the Future is to share with you briefer, multiple stories and examples impacting both humans and the rest of the living world. We are hoping that something you hear will click, something will stick with you, encouraging you to grasp the extent of the pickle we are in. The first step in preventing climate and ecological change is recognizing it as a major threat. We are literally at a crossroads for life as we know it on Earth. We need to turn the climate crisis into climate progress swiftly. We have all experienced the absolute worst in environmental politics for the last 4 years. That has to be flipped to the great climate awakening. We have the tools, we have the technology, we have the money. What we don't have is the political will. That needs to change, and fast. Scientists warn that even a big one-year drop in emissions is not enough to stop global warming. Until humanity's emissions are essentially zeroed out and nations are no longer adding greenhouse gases to the atmosphere, the planet will continue to heat up. And to underscore that warning, even with that drop in emissions, 2020 quite likely tied with 2016 as the hottest year on record. Nothing short of a total transformation of our energy infrastructure will be required. That calls for decisive action this year, next year, and truth be told, every year until 2050. In an associated story, one preliminary study found that wildfires, mainly in the western U.S., have offset roughly 3% of last year's drop in America's emissions from energy and industry. So that 10% drop I was just talking about is now reduced to a 7% reduction. While many trees that went up in flames will eventually grow back, absorbing carbon dioxide as they do, that process will take years. And scientists have warned that wildfires will become larger and more frequent as the planet warms. So, unfortunately, 2020 tells us little about what we can expect to see in 2021 and beyond. The vast majority of 2020's emission reductions were due to decreased economic activity and not from any structural changes that would deliver lasting reductions in the carbon intensity of our economy. Scientists warn that even that big one-year drop in emissions is not enough to stop global warming. Until humanity's emissions are essentially zeroed out and nations are no longer adding greenhouse gases to the atmosphere, the planet will continue to heat up. And to underscore that warning, even with that drop in emissions, 2020 has likely tied with 2016 as the hottest year on record. Nothing short of a total transformation of our energy infrastructure will be required. That calls for decisive action this year, next year, and if truth be told, every year until 2050. Satellite images of rivers across the U.S. have revealed a troubling, color-changing trend. Over the past three decades, one-third of formerly blue rivers have turned a shade of yellow or green, and scientists don't know why. Because the river systems in the U.S. are so vast, they are rarely sampled by limnologists, who are scientists that study water features. And because rivers are among the most imperiled ecosystems globally, science had to devise other methods to check river conditions. What limnologists have been utilizing is visual observations from satellites to examine river health by using color. What they found was America's rivers are changing color. One-third of the tens of thousands of mile-long river segments in the United States have noticeably shifted color in satellite images since 1984. The chief causes of color changes are farm fertilizer runoff, dams, efforts to fight soil erosion, and man-made climate change, which increases water temperatures and rain-related runoff. A yellow river would point to a bad case of soil erosion. 28% of the rivers are green, which often indicates they are choked with algae. Algae growth comes from farm runoff of chemical fertilizers. Although some green tint to rivers can be normal, it often means large algae blooms that cause oxygen loss and can produce toxins. And those toxins kill a lot of river life. We take a riveting look at algae cause dead zones around the world in episode 8 with the inelegant title, It's Not Climate Change, Stupid. We change our rivers a lot, and a lot of it has to do with human activity. It shows how most every aspect of our planet is being affected by humans, now including the basic color of our water. That's pretty profound if you think about it. Manatees, or sea cows, are large, gentle creatures that, it is said, that Columbus mistook for mermaids. Recently, a manatee with the word Trump carved onto its back was spotted swimming near Homosassa River in Florida. Manatees are protected by the Endangered Species Act, and messing with one in this manner is a federal criminal offense, punishable by a fine up to $50,000 and 1 year in jail in a federal prison. These gentle giants live in very shallow water, and because of the significant human population growth in southern Florida, there is virtually not one adult manatee that does not have huge scars from encounters with boat propellers. In fact, last year, a record number of manatees were killed in this manner. The real issue, though, as more and more people feel they are being pushed to the brink because of environmental regulations and restrictions, you're going to see a lot more people lashing out at innocent creatures such as this. Wildlife is already under unimaginable pressures, and if this is any example, they are going to be subjected to a lot more harassment from ignorant individuals. A vegan restaurant in southwest France has won a Michelin star, the first for an establishment serving only animal-free products. In addition to the award of the classic star, the restaurant also won a green star, which Michelin introduced last year to reward establishments with strong records of ethical practices. The restaurant near Bordeaux is called ONA, which stands for Origin Non Animale, which means non-animal origin. The owner originally could not get a bank loan for her restaurant. French banks said the outlook for veganism and plant-based food was too uncertain and not considered promising enough. So the young chef launched the restaurant in 2016 thanks to crowdfunding from supporters and a loan from a green bank. The times, they are a-changin'. There is an ever-growing number of young people that are so concerned about eco issues that they would take a pay cut to work at a sustainable company or one that cares about the environment. Future opportunities working in the realm of sustainability, conservation, and energy are thriving. These jobs exist in emerging green sectors and in traditional employment areas, such as manufacturing, technology, insurance, and state and federal government. Whether you are a graduate, currently in school, or just want to jump into a career, there's lots of opportunity to land a gig saving the world while also earning a living. There are two categories of green jobs. The first type creates goods and services that benefit the environment. The second helps make a company's production process more environmentally friendly. Working for an employer that manufactures electric cars or installing solar panels are examples of goods and services that advance greener goals. The other category could be advising companies on sustainable supply sources and logistics to help them lower their impact on the local environment. On the Green Elephant webpage, I have listed where you can find postings for Green Jobs online career boards, including opportunities on general job boards like Indeed and LinkedIn. Also listed are job descriptions, what types of education requirements are expected, what kind of experience they're looking for, and salary scales. This includes green jobs that don't require a four-year degree. And if you would like to just contribute by volunteering, I have included plenty of ways that you can participate to better your local environment. And finally, I was looking at Greta Thunberg's Twitter page, and in her bio, she listed her birthday as born at 375 ppm. That's 375 parts per million, or ppm, of carbon dioxide in our atmosphere when she was born. I'm a little older, and I was born at 311 ppm. For a little perspective, before the Industrial Revolution, carbon levels were at a steady 280 ppm. Experts say that we need to keep carbon levels at 350 ppm to preserve life on Earth as we know it. I just checked, and this week, where we just had a new president inaugurated, the levels are at 409 ppm. That's higher than it's been in the last 800,000 years. So, how old are you in CO2? I have a handy resource on the Elephant web presence and in the show notes. Oh, one other important thing. For all your recycling and taking public transportation, the sad news is the only way we're going to get out of this eco mess is by strong, sustained government action. Maybe you didn't vote for the greenest candidate last time around, but you can still kick up a fuss with your local elected representative. We've included a link to assist you by matching your zip code to your congressional district with links to your member's website and contact page. One activist I spoke to told me for every political rant she does on Facebook, she contacts a legislator. It's kind of a swear jar for political action. And I saved the best part for last. In the show notes and on the webpage, we share a way to supercharge your contact with your congressperson or local official. If you're an international listener, this technique will work anywhere. Give them hell.
visit us on our website, bit.ly/greenelephantintheroom. That's bit.ly/greenelephantintheroom, where you will find valuable information and links to everything that was addressed on today's show and more. If you have listened this far, you understand our mission here at the Green Elephant. Notice that we don't have commercial interruptions. We don't give you a lot of happy, chatty banter. We don't offer Green Elephant merchandise like coffee mugs and t-shirts. Merch is really a bunch of junk and a wasted resources. What we do give you is solid, factual, and actionable information so you can become a good earthling and improve your environmental stewardship today. Talking about these topics is, well, socially awkward. How do you think it would go over at your next cocktail party if you said, "Oh, I was just reading about how the Arctic ice sheet is collapsing"? What you can do is give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and send a link of this show to your friends and family. They like you. They trust you. You're doing them a favor. They will thank you. And we thank you.